Saving money on your next project now at Menards. Menards is the leading supplier of quality roof and floor trusses. Choose from our large selection of residential and post-frame trusses or design custom trusses specifically for your project. Get started on your building project today, in-store or on Menards.com. Plus, view our weekly flyer for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. We have the tech to get food delivered in 15 minutes, but we all have horror stories about buying tickets. The Game Time app gives fans the advantage. Get amazing tickets in just a few taps. Fees are included, so what you see is what you pay. And the Game Time guarantee means authentic tickets at the best price every time. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets to concerts, sports, comedy, and more with Game Time. Download the Game Time app and create an account for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply.
Next man up, 102.5, The Game. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly with you. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. It is now your chance to talk to TD. Get your questions in. 615-737-1025. Call or text with any questions you have for Teron. We will get to all of them over the next 30-plus minutes. Let's start with 7146. This is Jude. Sent this in earlier. If you are running the Titans, how long do you give Cam Ward to prove he is the guy for the future?
I'll give him another 2 seasons.
Yeah.
I mean, it used to be 3 seasons before you really knew what a player was. So, yeah, I give him 3.
Yeah, we had another similar question like this. Let me see. 7410 said, if Cam doesn't show in 2026 that he's a top half of the league quarterback, is it mandatory that he becomes that in year 3 for you? Or do you think after seeing guys like Mayfield and Darnold develop later, does that change how patient you're willing to be with Cam?
It doesn't change. It changes how much I want to build a team around him.
Right.
Because, I mean, look, like Sam Darnold is talented. You know what I mean? Let's not get it twisted. But, a good part of that, he has an outstanding team around him. Like, that defense is setting him up. That play calling is really good as well. So, you know, it's not always – the failure and success is not always dictated by one person. It's
right.
always dictated by situation.
Yeah.
And I say it over and over again. I honestly wonder if you took Corey Davis and flipped him with Michael Thomas.
Yeah.
I wonder what the success
Yeah,
would
do
be
their
like.
Careers flip.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I wonder if Freddie Mitchell didn't have Donovan McNabb constantly sabotaging him. I wonder how it would be. No, it's true story. True story. Donovan McNabb, his best friend was Charles Johnson. Right?
Yeah.
Charles Johnson, receiver from Colorado. He was a veteran. They drafted Freddie Mitchell number one. Freddie Mitchell was killing training camp. They released Charles Johnson. All of a sudden, McNabb, like as if Freddie Mitchell was supposed to not play
for that.
Well.
Yeah, you know
what I mean? Like, everybody's in their own circumstance. You got to do what you got to do.
Right.
And so they never vibe because of that.
Yeah. No, you are right. The situation is everything. And the Titans are trying to give Cam Ward a good situation. They're giving him weapons. The offensive line we'll get into in a second. But I think to give up on Cam Ward after this year, it would have to be a complete disaster. Right? Like, it would have to be you're benching him for Mitchell Trubisky in November. Like, that bad. And I don't think it's going to be that bad. But also, you may not know for sure that he's the franchise quarterback after this year.
Mm-hmm.
You'd love to have an answer one way or the other, but yeah, I think it's going to be 2027, you're hoping that he's ascending to be the franchise quarterback type
right.
of guy in year 3.
Right.
1196 asks, question for TD, who was the best free agent departure? Somebody that you're glad is not on the team anymore. Not you specifically, we'll say the Titans are glad that they don't have to worry about anymore.
Good question. I think Tavondre Sweat could be one.
I was thinking Snead.
It's Snead.
Right.
Yeah,
I think he's just – I don't want to say addition by subtraction, but it's just like they're clear that clearly was not going to work out here, and I think it's good to just not have that burden on you anymore. Robbie and Rex Road have been asking this question to everybody this week. Did they ask you? Oh, you go on with them tomorrow. So they'll probably ask you too. What would Titans fans be most upset about? Legarius Sneed turning back into a legit cornerback for the Chiefs. Tavondre Sweat turning into an anchor defensive tackle star for the Jets. Or the Falcons offensive line just being unbelievable under Bill Callahan after he struggled here.
I think it would be Sneed.
I think it's Sneed,
too.
There's
just so much venom tied around that man.
Right.
Anything that he does positive is going to be hated by Titans.
Right. Especially because, you traded a third-round pick for him. You gave him all that money, and he played what? 10 games for you, 11 games for you, and was never really all that good. If he went back and turned back into a top 10 cornerback in the league, which I wouldn't expect, I think that would be the one that would upset Titans fans the most.
A whole lot.
I think Sweat would be second. Because with Bill Callahan, like an offensive line coach, it's a lot of it is about the talent that you have. So if the Falcons' offensive line is just more talented than the Titans, maybe he has more to work with. So that one might be annoying, but it wouldn't upset the Titans fan base. Mm-hmm. Sweat and Sneed, I think, would be the ones that you look at and you're like, man, of course, they leave Nashville and they immediately turn into superstars.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I doubt either of those things are going to happen. Andrew on the text line asked, not to beat a dead horse, but I still have a lot of concerns about the offensive line and think a lot of fans probably do as well. Do you think they haven't really made a lot of moves recently because they're confident in their starting five or because there isn't really anyone better out there to go out and get?
Yeah, there were some options to go get. I just think – and actually what's the center? Another center just came available. He started for the Browns, but he's clear.
Ethan Posich.
Yeah. So you do have that. But, I mean, look, I think it's a combination. I think really what it comes down to is the comfort level that Carmen Basilo and Brian Daboll have with Austin Sloatman. But at the same time, Andre James, I think, is going to compete.
Yeah.
You know, so it's going to be interesting. I think, to answer the question, I think they're solid. They feel they're solid with what they have, and they know Kevin Zeitler is in the chamber. You know what I mean? That's one that you could just pull out if need be.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I do wonder what the roster math looks like. We had Nick Suss on Tuesday, and he brought this up about the offensive line. You're not going to keep 6 interior offensive linemen.
Mm-hmm.
So I would think if it is Sloatman versus James for center, one of those guys is starting and the other one might get cut. Because
exactly.
Pat Coogan, would you rather keep Austin Sloatman or Andre James or Pat Coogan, who you think has a higher ceiling and you just spent
Pat
a draft?
Pat Coogan is the center of the future.
Right.
They're going to keep him. And as you said, it's going to be one of the two.
Right.
And both of the deals are set up to where, you know, because Sloatman's not an
expensive
deal.
It's a 2-year deal, but yeah, it wouldn't be that tough to get out of. Yeah. So I do think that you're probably seeing James or Sloatman as your week one starter. The other one probably doesn't make the initial 53. And then at right guard, you're not cutting Jackson Slater. You're probably not cutting Fernando Carmona after spending a 5th-round pick on him. And I think Volson's probably going to be your starter. So, and I don't know if you'd want to cut Volson if Slater wins that job. So you're keeping 5. I think whoever loses the center competition probably is cut.
Because remember, Fernando Carmona could also play tackle.
Right,
he's not a tackle by trade, but he could play tackle. So that gives you some flexibility. And then you got Jackson Slater, who could play center as well as guard.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So there's flexibility. I think Crenshaw Dixon is going to be the swing. I had him keeping 10 offensive linemen.
Right.
Yeah.
So would that be your starting 5?
The starting 5.
Plus
Crenshaw Dixon, Deculus,
Coogan,
Carmona.
Slater.
Yeah.
I think that's right. Yeah, you keep – You would keep, what, 6 interior offensive linemen in that scenario? Or 5?
5.
And then 5 tackles as well. Yeah. So, the offensive line, that's going to be the focal point for a lot of people heading into the season of what can that group do? Can it at least be serviceable? Right now, lots of question marks. Belvis on the text line, kind of similar vein, but could be anywhere on the team. Belvis asks, TD, is there any free agent still out there the Titans could add that would help them immediately?
That's a weekly question.
Yeah, I feel like we get that every single week.
I'll continue to say Zeitler, but I don't really think that there are any other than Zeitler. I mean, you know, Posich is an intriguing name.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But at this point, it seems like they got their center that they, you know, are thinking about.
Somebody, it was one of the ESPN articles that we've talked about, mentioned Kenny Moore as an option for the Titans at
nickel.
It's intriguing,
like, but I mean, you already, you know, they like Marcus Harris.
Right, and I think Kenny Moore might be looking for somewhere he can win more immediately.
Exactly.
So I would say probably not, but that is somebody who has been brought up as an option. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Any questions you have for TD, get them in. We've got another segment of Talk to TD coming up next. Text or call 615-737-1025. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. This Sunday, 1025 The Game, will have live coverage of the Borchetta Bourbon Music City Grand Prix at the Nashville Super Speedway, and coverage begins at 5 p.m. It's brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, and Big Shots in downtown Nashville. Talk to TD continues after this. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game. Next man up, 1025 The Game. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly, Talk to TD. To start off hour number two, getting to all of your questions on our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and TD always presented by Bart Durham Injury Law. Lots of good Titans questions in the first segment. Let's get into some more fun ones here. We got some car-related questions here, TD.
Okay.
4312 asks, TD, if you could have any car, regardless of time frame, what would you get?
Oh, that's a good one, man. I love the Ferrari Testarossa, man, that old school one. That would probably be the one. But, I mean, I'm a Corvette. I love Corvettes.
Yeah.
I've always loved Corvettes. So, the red one out there is one I would say, too.
That's so. Why it hurts you so bad to see Joe Flacco just letting that one rot in his garage.
Crazy.
Dude, I couldn't believe that. I couldn't believe how much dust that thing
had. It's like they gave, and I get it. Like his wife said, like it's not a super functional car when you have kids to like drive around. But like, it's also it's
spin the block,
right?
Like that's when I would drive to the facility,
right? Yeah, like you know what I mean? Joe Flacco could drive that in for game days, can he?
Yeah.
Right? Like I think that would make a whole lot of sense. 4312 says 1970 Plymouth Roadrunner with a 426 would be his.
Yeah, you're doing something right there. That's that old muscle.
Justin from Greenbrier says, TD, I've heard you refer to certain players being a Honda Accord. That was Nick Westbrook, Akine, Tony Pollard, the new Honda Accord.
He was a Chevy Corsica.
Yeah, the Chevy Corsica. he asked, what was your first car when you started driving?
Oh, my first car was a 1981 Honda Accord hatchback, man.
It was a Honda Accord.
Yeah,
there you
Honda
go.
Accord hatchback, man. I had that, man. I remember I went down to the Poppy Spot, Germantown Avenue. Got the so on Germantown Avenue in Philly, that's like a bunch of like the Puerto Ricans, and they're real swift with the sound.
Yeah.
And they're cheap too. So you know what I mean? Poppy hooked that joint up for me. And that's what he did. I had the two speakers, the 8x12 Orions in the back, and then an amp connected to it with the Pioneer tape deck. Man, listen, I used to play Cool G Rap, Man at Work. Yo, you would hear me coming around the block, but the little hatchback, and the way it was the hatch, like the sound would bounce back into the car. Yo, I used to run that thing from Philly to New York and back to Philly. Oh, man.
That's amazing.
It was that thing had 220,000 miles on it when I was done with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we mean by the Nick Westbrook Akina being Honda Accord.
It's going to get you where you got to go.
Right, yeah, it may not.
May not always be the prettiest.
Right.
But it's going to get you where you got to
exactly.
go. And that thing was pea green.
Wow.
Or like a seafoam green. Yep.
Interesting.
Yep.
I've got the orange one out there, and I'm not a huge fan of that color, but I think my next car I might just go black. Like so my first car was a red Toyota Tacoma.
Okay.
It was my dad's old truck that he passed down to me. And I love that truck. It was great. It was pushing close to 150,000 miles,
really?
I want to say. And I was driving from Blacksburg to Bluefield, West Virginia to call a wrestling Division III wrestling championship.
Wow.
And I hit a patch of ice and it spun into a guardrail and totaled it.
It was
so,
over for it.
Yeah. Luckily, no other cars on the road. But yeah, that was my first car. Love that car. It probably still would be running today 5 years later. But, you know, tough. Parker, what was your first car?
So, I'm still driving mine.
Oh, you're still okay.
Ironically enough, wow. But I did have a Nissan Maxima that I bought, and turns out it was a used car. I bought it. It had been in a really bad wreck, but the people that sold me the car had kind of painted over it, made it look nicer than the interior was. So it turns out there were some bad issues. So I returned the car, ended up getting my Camry, and I'm still driving it. But okay. my next vehicle will be a truck.
Oh, yeah. I love it. Yeah. Did you tell TD about the deer?
Yes, I had a deer coming back from my parents' house on July 4th.
Oh, really?
It came out at the very last second. It was a back road, narrow, no street lights or anything, so you really couldn't see any deer that were off in the distance. But this thing came out at the very last second.
Did it dent you up?
It did, the front. But the damage is actually pretty minimal.
Yeah, it doesn't look that bad.
That is a good thing. I do not have to pay a lot either for a deductible.
That's good.
Love it. Yeah, I mean, I hate car issues. My wife actually just had some car trouble. It ruins your day. It ruins your week having to deal with it, no matter what it is. So
you know what the trick? So like with my Corvette, I got the GM car through Barclays. And like if you sign up for the card and you spend like $3,000 in the first month or something like that, you get like 60,000 points or something.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it keeps – you just have to track. It's just like any other car. Like you track – like how to accumulate points and stuff like that. Man, I had my car serviced. I had the oil change and wheel alignment, you know, and it was a couple dollars, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, with the points, I just paid it off with the points. I didn't have to spend anything except for the tax on it, you know?
Really?
So that's my financial suggestion. Get yourself a card that's the same as your company. Like GM has them, I believe – I know that there are others, but I know GM has it. And
that's smart.
That's a car that I use for sure.
That's smart. Yeah, it's always nice when you can I did a Southwest card to get points, and it paid for a couple of flights. And it's just like when you don't have to see that giant charge go onto your credit card for a flight. It's so nice.
It's so nice, man.
615-737-1025. Again, it's your chance to talk to TD. Let's go to the phone lines. Edward is on the line. Edward, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey guys, enjoy your show. Always insightful. Yeah. Talk about vehicles for a minute. My first vehicle was a 1970 Volkswagen Bug.
Ooh.
I could put $3 in that thing on Friday afternoon, TD, and run till Monday. It was absolutely great. But I've come a long ways, had some success in my life. I currently have owned a C8 70th anniversary, and I also own a Porsche 911. I want to talk about the C8.
Yeah, talk about it, because I got the same one.
I had a little issue with it. Problem. My son talked me into buying this. I had to replace the double clutch. It wouldn't go in reverse, and then I had some computer issues. But when it came to 0 to 60, it could outrun a Lamborghini.
Yes.
Wow.
2.7, I think, 2.8.
I got 2.6 on mine.
What's that?
I got 2.6 on mine. Did you put it on the sport or track setting?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
I did. But I ended up selling it and updating. I've been a Porsche owner for probably 25 years. You remember the movie Risky Business, Tom Cruise statement? As he just blew by a bunch of high school kids and cars.
Yeah.
Porsche, there is no substitute. I have stayed with Porsche ever since. I've got a Carrera 911, and I love that car. It's a manual, and it's fun to shift and drive. My wife likes it a lot more than I do. But, that C8 Corvette, that is a fast car. You can go on YouTube, and you can see them out running Ferraris. That's 0 to 60 now. You get on up past 200. I asked when I ordered it from Wilson County Motors, I said, what's the top claim speed on this? 198. And that's not the Z. That was just your basic Corvette.
Yep.
So for the money, it's a great
looking
car.
It's a great buy. Yeah. It's a great buy. Now, it's funny you mentioned that because, you know, my C8, the transmission wasn't torqued properly.
Oh.
So we got the whole thing replaced. But it was covered under warranty.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so it was all good. You know what I mean? But that C8, as Ed said, that was Corvette's. Like, they brought that out to be, like, supercar, to compete against the Lambos, the Ferraris. And because that engine sits right on the axle the way it does, the mid-engine, and all the weight is right there. Just phew, that thing take like I'm gonna have to take you for a ride in that one time because it's crazy. Because what did I tell you? It took me 1.5 minutes to get here from Kroger.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I turned out of there, I was 0-60. I was driving stupid.
All green lights.
Admittedly, I was driving
just
stupid.
You wanted to avoid doing push-ups.
I didn't want to do my push-ups.
I had a guy pull up to me. I live in Murfreesboro at a red light. He was in one of those Xfinity sports cars. I can't think of what the name
is. I know what you're talking about.
But he rolls down the window, and he says, I will race you for $200. I was in that C8.
Man, I took his $200 quickly.
I was like, I'm not going to take your money today. He was a 19, 20-year-old kid. I'm 64, so, you know,
mm-hmm.
a little different story there. But, guys, enjoy your show. Throwing in a topic like this every once in a while. I love talking sports. But that adds a lot to it.
Thanks. That's right.
Yeah. Appreciate it. Thank you for the call, Edward. Yeah, it's nice with Talk to TD. I try and do first segment, get the Titans questions in.
Because
we're going to get plenty of Titans questions for TD. But everybody does a nice job of throwing in some life, cars, music, movies, whatever it is.
The CA, Ed, I'm getting and I know he's gone, but I'm getting the spacers put on to make the wheels poke out a little bit more.
Oh.
It improves the handling. Yeah. But with that, you got to get another, like, the side skirt. So, actually, that stuff is coming in tomorrow, and I'm going to take it to my guy, LLS Customs, over there on Antioch Pike.
Love it.
You need any work done, you know what I mean? Like, not detail, but, like, you know, stuff like that and lights and stuff like that. They're the ones that do it. He did a lot of work for the Titans. I actually got put on to him by Larrell Murchison, if you remember.
Merch.
Yeah. So when I had my Camaro, he put the lights in there. Then he put them in the Hummer. He put them in the Corvette. He put them in the F-150, too. So
I want to know if maybe he did Cam Ward's lights in his car. I don't know if you saw that.
Those lights.
He's got the star lights in his car.
Yeah, he does. You know, when I first saw that during COVID, when we had a Zoom, and Kevin Byard did a presser from his car, and the lights were in there, I was like, I need that.
Yeah.
I need it.
Gotta get it.
At the time, I had an Audi A4, so I was like, I'm not putting them in this. But then when I got the Camaro, when the Audi died, I said, we're going to do it.
I love it. I love it. Yeah, I immediately thought of you when it was like the first episode or first scene of episode 3 of Quarterback. I saw Cam Ward with the lights behind him, and I was like, I got to talk to TD about that tomorrow.
Yeah, he had it in.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. Appreciate everybody chiming in on Talk to TD. If you have any other questions, we'll try and get to them throughout the rest of the show. You can always text or call. 1025 The Game and Borchetta Bourbon present True American Racer, the Bobby Rahal story, tomorrow night at the Franklin Theater. Celebrate the career of an Indy 500 champion with rare footage and a live Q&A featuring racing legends. You can get tickets now at franklintheater.com. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game. Next man up, 1025 The Game. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly. TD Thursday here on the program. Big thanks to everybody who chimed in during Talk to TD. If you have any more questions, we'll try and get to them throughout the show. 615-737-1025. I will say, Parker doing more with less back there.
Throw them bows. That's what this one right here is called.
He has been limited in his scope of what he can play, and he's still doing a nice job. Well done, Parker.
Make it happen.
I wanted to get into some of these quarterback competitions around the league here, TD, as we're getting closer to training camp. I can't believe it. Rookies report a week from today.
Yeah, man.
Right? Yeah, the 23rd. And some of the teams are going to start reporting in the next couple of days. Is it Panthers and I forget who's in the Hall of Fame game this year, but couple
Cardinals,
of teams.
I think it is.
Yeah, that Cardinals. Sounds like that sounds about right. So training camp going to get started in the next couple of weeks. There are four quarterback battles around the NFL that I am keeping an eye on. Now, I wanted to start with the one in Cleveland. Shedeur Sanders, Deshaun Watson. Sanders obviously finished the year last year for Cleveland. Deshaun Watson it's been a disaster since he's been there with the Browns. But obviously, you look back and you still see that there is talent there. He just hasn't played like that since he left Houston. Jared Verse yesterday made a comment that he's seeing two elite quarterbacks going at it. Who do you think wins that one between Shedeur and Deshaun Watson?
Wow, that's a good question. I mean, I would imagine they want Deshaun Watson to win it. Well, the money that's
paying him
invested
that much
in
money,
him,
yeah.
But, man, I don't know. That's a hard one I'm going to go with Shador. I think Shador is going to win that. Actually, you know what? No, I think Watson is going to win it, and Shador will eventually take over. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a decent chance both of those guys get a handful of starts throughout the season. And, you know, you forget that Dylan Gabriel's still on that roster, too. It's, yeah. The Browns have mismanaged that quarterback situation.
Badly.
Terribly over the last few years. This is the last year for Deshaun Watson on this deal. He is getting paid $40 million, I believe, but he is free after next year. There will still be some dead cap, I want to say, for the Browns after that, but his five-year, $230 million fully guaranteed deal going to expire at the end of this season. That one, it's interesting because I don't think the Browns are going to be very good either way. I think that team is in the sweepstakes to go draft whoever the top quarterback is in 2027. So if it were me, I would go with Shador Sanders. Because Deshaun Watson, I think you know that he's not going to ever get back to the guy he was at the end of his tenure in Houston. And with Shador Sanders, not that I believe he's going to become a franchise quarterback. I think we saw a lot of the red flags rear their ugly head last year with some of the decision-making. Mm-hmm. We saw in the Titans game, threw a horrible pick in that game. But I do think that there's more room to grow for Shador Sanders, and you have him on a rookie deal. I'd rather find out what I have in Shador Sanders than just see more of what I already know Deshaun Watson is.
Yeah, no, without a doubt. I think that's something that you look at, and it's always that potential, right? You know, that ceiling that you're looking to acquire. But I think
right.
when you look at Shador, the floor is high too. You know what I mean? So he's a guy that is very capable of playing like a veteran. He did at times this past year. You know what you got, like you said, in Deshaun Watson. You also know that after this year, as you mentioned, he's out of there.
Right.
You know,
and with Cleveland being a team that is not – you just traded away Myles Garrett. This is a team that is not built to compete for a playoff spot this year. Go with the young guy and see what you have, because the results are probably going to be about the same given what he's going to have around him.
Yeah.
I think I would say the opposite for Minnesota, where we're talking about Kyler Murray versus J.J. McCarthy. Yes, in Cleveland it makes sense to go with the young guy, because what do you have to lose? I don't think that team's going to be very good anyway. But with Minnesota, you can look at that team and say they've got the pieces to go compete. They won 13 games 2 years ago with Sam Darnold. They were still a 9-win team last year with J.J. McCarthy in and out of the lineup. So I think you go with the more proven commodity with Kyler Murray, because that's a Vikings team that feels like they can compete for a playoff spot if they just get better quarterback play this season.
Right, exactly. And I think that's the thing that you have to look at. You got to get better quarterback play in order to compete. This is a quarterback-driven league.
Right, right. And so I think I kind of look at those as very similar in terms of a veteran quarterback who's been given up on. In a way, Kyler Murray was given up on by the Cardinals. Same with Deshaun Watson, in a different way, of course, but I think everybody's kind of moved on from hoping he's going to figure it out. And then the two young guys who have not lived up to what the expectations were heading in through their first year as an actual player. J.J. McCarthy obviously has been in the league for 2 years. But I look at it as the situation is different. Cleveland is a team that likely is going to be picking in the top five next year, whereas Minnesota, it's a tough division, but if Kyler Murray can play top 15 quarterback, which might be a lot to ask, but we've seen it before from him, that's a team with Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison and TJ Hawkinson, and they've still got Aaron Jones, and the defense has a lot of players on it. Like, I think that's a team that could compete for a playoff spot in the NFC North.
Yeah, absolutely, because they have so many talented players, and I think when you look at that offense, all they need to do is get some good play out of whoever the quarterback is.
Right.
Now, I would imagine it's going to be Kyler Murray, but you look at him and Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, I think, you know, as you mentioned, Hawkinson, they
got pieces.
Yeah.
They got pieces. And with J.J. McCarthy, during OTAs, I think you kind of got the sense that Kyler Murray is already the starter. They just didn't want to name it right off the bat with
right.
the way Kyler was talking of, man, I'm not getting all the reps that I need to get if I'm going to learn this system. And J.J. McCarthy saying that their relationship is just two guys sitting on opposite sides of the classroom.
Yeah.
Like, I think you could tell that there was some some hurt feelings for J.J. McCarthy that he's not going to be the starter this year. And Kyler Murray is saying, why are we still giving this guy first-team reps? If I'm going to be the starter, I need to get as many opportunities as I possibly can.
Yep, and he's just more or less saying, hey, look, man, you know what the decision is going to be, and support it.
That NFC North is going to be a gauntlet this year. Because I think Chicago could very well be better than they were last year. Green Bay is always in the conversation with LaFleur and Jordan Love and Micah Parsons hopefully back healthy this year for the full season. The Lions, I think, are going to take a big step back into the limelight this year after a 9-win year last season. So that NFC North, I don't know if I would pick the Vikings to win it, but there's certainly a path to all four of those teams winning that division. There's just so much talent among those four squads.
Man, so much talent. You look at Green Bay is always intriguing. You know, and now you got. I want to see, is Matthew Golden going to emerge?
Right.
You know what I mean? Jordan Love continues to be a dynamic quarterback, so you have that. Micah Parsons healthy for the full year. You know, that's going to be fun to watch. Detroit, obviously, all this stuff. I love their wide receiver tandem. You know, people don't really talk about them as much.
J-Mo and Amon-Ra.
You know what I mean? We were talking about Coney Island hot dogs.
Yeah.
That apparently, J-Mo, that's one of his favorite places to go. Yeah, Eric Woodyard, my fellow ESPN NFL Nation reporter, he covers the Lions out there, and he did a story on J-Mo and going to there. But you look at LaPorta, too, and obviously, you know, Jahmyr Gibbs, who was one of the best running backs in the league.
Right.
So there's so much there. Jared Goff, I didn't even realize, like, he's had 4,500 yard seasons.
Yeah.
And it's like, the number of – I think it was only like four other guys to do that or something crazy like that.
Right.
But, you know, you have that. You got the – I want to see what the Bears do, right, because, I mean, obviously, you know they got Rome Odunze.
Luther Burden.
Luther Burden. That's the one.
Colston Loveland.
Right. But, and that allowed them to move on from DJ Moore, who's in Buffalo now.
Yep.
The defense, we'll see how that works, but – I mean, to your point, all four teams are it's interesting.
Yeah, I think the Titans are very glad not to be playing that division this year.
Still got the Lions, though.
Yes, they do have the Lions. Yeah. That was a tough draw where that's your fourth-place schedule game.
Yeah.
You have to play the Lions, who Jeremy Fowler just put out like the rundown of his top 10 list and how many players on each team there were. The Lions had the most with 9.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which – we just listed them all, like Amon-Ra's on there, LaPorta, Gibbs, Goff, Penei Sewell. That's just on offense.
They had Hutchinson. And then both safeties.
No, yeah, Branch.
But then the other, Joseph,
Kirby,
I think,
Joseph.
Got an honorable mention, I want to say.
Yeah, and then the Jack Campbell, the linebacker, too. So, yeah, they've got players everywhere. That is not exactly the best fourth-place schedule game that you could have gotten if you're the Titans. But, you know, you kind of – they do get the easy ones from their AFC side at the very least. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll wrap up hour number two with TD after this. Again, anything you've got for Teron, we'll take it on our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game. Next man up, 1025 The Game. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly. We're going around the league looking at some of the quarterback battles heading into training camp. There will not be one in Pittsburgh with the black and yellow. Aaron Rodgers back for another season. But there was one we didn't get to, and I think this is the quarterback battle in the truest sense of the term. Michael Penix and Tua Tagovailoa. That's the one that I don't really know what it's going to look like.
Yeah.
You got the two lefties out there in Atlanta. Penix has to stay healthy. That's been a bit – well, both of them have to stay healthy. They've had that issue throughout their careers. But I really don't know which way they're going to lean with this one. I would probably go Penix again. Take the younger guy. You spent that top 10 pick on him just – 3 years ago. So I would probably lean Penix, but I could see it going either way in Atlanta under Kevin Stefanski.
Yeah, it can go either way. And we know Stefanski is going to want to, you know, get that quarterback on the move, a lot of play action and booting and stuff like that. So both guys are fitting for that. Whoever, like if Tua wins the job, I mean, you always have the injury factor. So Penix has to stay ready.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because it could be one play and he's in there. So I don't know. That they've just The way they've handled the whole, like, everything around the quarterback stuff has been very strange.
Yeah.
You know, from picking, because I remember sitting at J.C. Latham's press conference and looking on my phone like.
They did what?
They picked Penix eighth. And I remember looking at Rand, and Rand was like, he knew that's what was going to happen, you know, from getting their
intel,
et cetera, et cetera. But then to do that after having paid Kirk Cousins the guarantee, like, it just has been a mess. And then bringing Tua in, and I look, more power to them, but I would hate to be Arthur Blank and a guy, you know, stuck in that situation.
Yeah, they really have mangled that quarterback situation. And now you've got Matt Ryan in charge. And, again, the Falcons, I think that's a talented team. I don't know which one of those guys gives you a better chance to go win. I think they're very similar players. Tua's probably a little bit more accurate down the field. Penix, you know, maybe a little bit more athletic at this point in his career.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I think that one's splitting hairs. We'll have to see what they're able to do in training camp. No joint practice with them this year for the Titans. That's right. It's that was last year. They got 49ers, Seahawks, Bears.
Yeah.
Speaking of Kirk Cousins. Does Fernando Mendoza start in week one for Vegas?
No.
You think it's going to be Kirk?
Yeah, I think it's going to be Cousins. And they're just going to bring Mendoza along. I would say week four, six, something like that. That's when he'll start.
Yeah, I would probably guess that too. Let's see. What does the Raiders schedule look like? Because if it's a –
Titans go there later. I think like week 13 it's like, or something like that.
Yeah, it is, I think, December at some point. They start with – Dolphins, Chargers, Saints, Chiefs. Man, but it's like if you plug him in after, let's say, 4 weeks, at New England, Buffalo, Rams are the next three. Like, I don't know if there's – this was the same conversation we had with Cam Ward last year, and it's different because if Kirk Cousins was in the room with Cam Ward, I think we would have had a different conversation than with Brandon Allen. But – it was like there were some people who wanted him to sit. I'm just like, there's never a good time to just throw them into the fire. Like with Mendoza, it's like, all right, let's say you sit him week one. Well, wouldn't the Dolphins kind of be a good spot for him to get acclimated if there is a good spot in the NFL rather than anywhere in October where you're facing the Chiefs, Patriots, Bills, Rams that are probably going to be much tougher matchups?
Yeah, Jeff Hafley is the Dolphins coach, right?
Yes.
Yeah. That defense, we'll see what the defense is.
But yeah.
I mean, I think that would be a good time.
Right.
You know, to bring them along.
I don't know. That will be one of the more intriguing storylines. Because, again, it's like last year with Cam Ward, there wasn't really a question because it was Brandon Allen.
Yeah.
But with Kirk Cousins, it would make sense to put him
in. And see, that's the thing. I'm rarely a fan of like, hey, you know, you're going to gain by sitting. But I think in this situation, I think they're more ready. Like, Kirk Cousins is a legit option, right, to start off. Like, Kirk Cousins, I could legit understand playing him over Mendoza just because he's going to be better right now. You know what I mean?
And you can ask the question of the Titans last year, why didn't you bring in somebody you felt could start and let Cam sit for a little bit? That's a completely valid question. But, yeah, there was never a chance when they only signed Brandon Allen as a backup quarterback that it wasn't going to be Cam Ward in week one.
I think, you know, with Cam, you had so much extensive experience, right? You know, I mean, this guy, 40-something starts? You know what I mean? So I think that's something to take into account. Mendoza was a 2-year starter, I believe.
How much did he play at Cal? Let's see. Fernando Mendoza, because obviously, I mean, he made a lot of starts last year, 16 starts last year. He played 3 years total, so 36 total starts between Cal and Indiana. So, decent amount.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I get both sides of the equation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I
personally would rather see him play right away, but I would have set it up in that way, in that, you know, I wouldn't have went and got Kirk Cousins. I would have, you know, gotten somebody, you know, like a Jacoby Brissett. I know he's in Arizona.
Right, Gardner Minshew. Like
that type of player. Right. It's like, okay, you know what?
That's the backup.
Yep. But he's going to bring him along and push him and help him.
Yeah, Clint Kubiak will have some decisions to make out there in training camp. I think those are the four spots where you really don't know who the starter is going to be. Everywhere else, I feel like it's pretty cut and dry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Dolphins didn't pay Malik Willis that kind of money for him not to be their week one starter, even though, like, maybe Quinn Ewers. Like, the Jets, Geno Smith's going to start. I wouldn't be shocked if Cade Klubnik gets in later in the season. But those are really the four spots where I think you look and say there's a legitimate quarterback competition going on. Good question from Trevor on the text line. Do you think Aaron Donald will suit up this year?
Yeah, it seems like that's the direction it's going.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if he does, that's going to be I wouldn't say he's going to be the same Aaron Donald, but, hey, you know, that best D tackle in the league conversation is opened up now. You know what I mean? So we'll see. But I think Jeffrey Simmons is still the best.
Let's see with Aaron Donald. He is – how old is he now? He is 35. 35 years old. He has not played since 2023, so two seasons off. His last year, he had 8 sacks and 16 tackles for loss. Still was first-team All-Pro, so still a very good player. And again, with defensive tackles, it's more about how you impact the game than the counting stats, although he did have 5 straight seasons with double-digit sacks, including a 20.5 sack season. But I agree with you. I think if Aaron Donald comes back, it's not going to be, hey, Aaron, line up next to Miles and go play 60 snaps a game. It's going to be using him strategically to get him good matchups. And
yeah,
I think every team, even though he's 35 and 2 years out of the league, I think every team in the league would love to have Aaron Donald on their defensive line for as many snaps as they can get out of him.
Absolutely.
So I don't think it's going to be Aaron Donald comes back and is defensive player of the year again, but he could get you 5 or 6 extra sacks that you might not have gotten if you had somebody else lining up there.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a fun story. I would guess we probably don't see him until after training camp. I don't think Aaron Donald is, or maybe midway through training camp. I don't think he's signing up for a full month of training camp two years out of the league.
No, he's not going to want to do that.
That's definitely one of the big stories heading into training camp for the Rams, who they are by far the Super Bowl favorite heading into this year. And it is a scary sight to see just with the, you know, what those guys look like, having Aaron Donald and Myles Garrett lining up next to each other.
Gee, mercy. That's bad, man.
Titans fans, be glad that your offensive line does not have to face the Rams this year.
I know Cam is glad. What do you say? I'm tired of getting a hit out of me. That's what Cam said.
I will say the Titans did a half decent job against Myles Garrett last year in the Cleveland game.
Well, yeah, they had two tight ends moving with him in motion.
Well, it wasn't quite like the one, was that what, 3 years ago where they wouldn't snap the ball because they just had the tight end chasing Myles Garrett back and forth?
That was when Andre Dillard was like, because I remember I asked him, I'm like, you know, as an athlete, you're always confident, but it's got to be tough going out and, you know, having these types of results happen against you. How do you work through and bounce back from it? And he was like, he looked in the sky and he was like, you know, one thing that was good is after he beat me for the sacks, he told me what I was doing wrong. And I was like, you happy with that?
is that what you want?
That's what you want? You would have got to whoop your behind and then tell you what you could have done to avoid that whooping? Nah, man, I'm good. I couldn't believe he said that, man. I was just like, what?
Yeah, it's like we all have to remind ourselves every once in a while of, you know, we complain about the offensive line situation, and there's definitely things the Titans could have done to make this better heading into this year, but man, it could be so much worse.
It could be so much worse.
And we've seen it be so much worse over the last few years. That is so funny. I feel like you've told me that before, but I forgot about it. He was telling me what I was doing wrong. Oh, mercy. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We've got one more hour with TD here on the program, so anything you've got for him, get it in on our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coming up in the final hour, we've talked about breakout players for the Titans, guys that you think could take a big step. Is there anybody who could be set up for a disappointing season? We'll talk about that coming up next. Also, the final top 10 list from ESPN is out. It's the safeties, and Amani Hooker's name is in the article. We will get into that coming up in the final hour of the show. 615-737-1025. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly. Next man up, 1025 The Game.